Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As was mentioned, we'll be following the readings from 1 Peter. I share them with you once more. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is not breaking news I'm sharing with you, but we live in a very anxious time. Anxiety is at an all-time high, it would appear. There's wars we have to deal with, and rumors of wars, and rumors of attacks, and bombings that are taking place. There's illnesses that are still being contracted and new viruses that are always coming out. We got so much to be anxious about, so much to worry about. How do you cope? How do you handle it? Some people handle it by going to a bottle, whether it's an alcohol bottle or a pill bottle. Some handle it through meditation, or maybe they're going to have a nice self-talk. They handle it in a variety of ways. Some will go to counselors. I'm not saying, except for the first one with the pills and the alcohol, if it calms one, if it takes the anxiety away, if it takes the worry and frustration of life away, okay. But there is one way that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians, have for coping in Christ. We take all our anxiety, we take all our worries and concerns, and we give them to Jesus. That's what Peter was telling the people at the time. Christians who in many cases were probably under persecution, under anxiety, under difficult times themselves. He was telling them that if you want to cope as a Christian, do it in Christ and cast all your anxiety on him. He shares it in a variety of ways, and we're going to take these steps that he gives us. Actually, he gives us a number of steps to get rid of anxiety. The first step, he says, is humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. To humble ourselves. Well, that's not always so easy, is it? Because we want to be important. We want to be special. We want people to think we're something really out of the ordinary. And yet the Lord would say, first of all, we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves to let us know that we're not in charge. You see, when we think we're in charge and things don't go our way, there's frustration then, isn't there? There's anxiety, there's worry when we think we're all and everything. And yet God says, you humble yourself where? Before or under God's mighty hand. Know that there is someone greater than ourselves who is watching over his creation. It is his creation, after all. He didn't just set it off spinning in orbit out in space. No, he made his creation and loves that creation and protects it. So he says, humble yourself, what? Under my guidance, under my mighty hand, so that what? That he may lift you up in due time. All right, there's step one. We need to humble ourselves and know that we are not God, but also acknowledge there is a God who loves us and cares for us, the Almighty God who can do all things and does them well and in love for you and me. The next step he would take us to, he says, cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. You see, sometimes being humble is difficult because we want to be in charge. He says, no, let me be in charge. And then you take all those worries and all those concerns that you think are so important that you don't have the answers for, and he says, cast them on Jesus. When I think of casting, I always think of fishing. You take your lure and you cast it out there. The only thing that that illustration breaks or is wrong with, you know, there's always that line attached to the lure, isn't there? And you reel it back. You never really let go of it. When God tells us here, cast your anxiety on Him, He says, I want you to literally throw it away, let go of it, abandon it would be the term. Abandon it. Forget about it. I'll take care of it. Hard to do, isn't it? Because sometimes we think by worrying about things, that's going to change something. That's going to make a difference. And worrying has never changed a situation before. Anxiety and frustrations over things don't change things. But what do? Give it to Jesus. Just take it and abandon it to Him. Because what? It says, for He cares for you. He knows what's needed. He knows what we need, and He knows how we hurt. And when we bring our cares to Him, He says, I'll take them. I'll carry them. You know, there's an old story told of a young girl who was walking in from the farm, walking into town to go to the farmer's market with her goods. She had a big sack over her back, and she was walking along, and one of the neighbors came along in the truck and said, here, I'll give you a ride into town. Hop in the back. So she hopped in the back of the pickup. And then as they were driving along, he looked in the mirror, and he saw she still kept the sack over her shoulders. She was still carrying her load. No, that shouldn't have been the case. She should have taken that load and put it and let the truck carry it. We need to do that. We need to take our loads and our burdens and our cares, our anxieties and our worries, and give them to Jesus. Say, Lord, I know You care for me. I know You love me. And I know You have the power to make the difference. Oh, dear Jesus, carry this for me. And then forget about it. Don't let that worry burden you that we got to keep hanging on to it all the time. No, He says, humble yourself, know My power, and then now use Me. We don't always do that, do we? We don't always use the power and the resource that God gives to us through Himself. He says, you cast all your anxiety on Me, because you got to remember, I care for you. Step two, cast your anxiety. Step three, He says, now I want you to be alert and of sober mind, because the devil's looking for you. To be alert. You know, there are those that when they have to go and serve in a deployment to war, they have to be on high alert all the time. It's wearisome to be on high alert. You'd like to relax once in a while. And I know we're on high alert, but we tend to relax too often, don't we? We get moved along ever so subtly by Satan himself. I picture going out like in Lake Michigan. When you walk out there on a hot summer day, sometimes you're just standing in the water just to be cooled. Now you walk straight off from where your items are on the beach. You walk straight out into the water. But then after a while, you look again at the beach and you go, wait a minute, why is my stuff way over there? And see, with every little wave, with every little ripple of the water, you made a subtle adjustment with your feet. You weren't really paying attention. You weren't watching very carefully. You weren't real alert to the fact that you were moving. Satan likes that. He likes to connive and make it so that we're comfortable. Think about how many sins have become popular in society. Always almost acceptable. Not overnight, but every now and then, Satan just nudging people along, saying, it's okay. You don't even have to pay attention. And we find ourselves far away from our home base. Satan's doing that, you see. He prowls around, we're told, like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's Satan's goal. God gets blamed too often when things don't go right in our life, doesn't He? Why isn't God stepping in? Why isn't He doing something? We can get all argumentative with God. Come on, God, show up here once in a while. And yet, we're blaming the wrong one, folks. It's Satan who wants to destroy us. It's Satan who wants to keep us anxious and worried so that we don't put our trust in God. We might put our trust in science. We might put our trust in knowledge. We might put our trust in people who have been educated. We might put our trust anywhere but with God. Satan would love that. He's walking around just looking for someone who's not alert, not paying attention. Need to cope with anxiety and worry? Keep the focus on Jesus. Keep the focus on the Lord and stay alert to all his temptations because he is so subtle and conniving. You know when he told Adam and Eve to sin? He didn't tell them, go and sin because God doesn't want you to do that. He wasn't blunt about it, no. Did God really say? He just wanted to have a little doubt. He wanted them to turn away. Well, did he really say these things? Does he really mean it? And then what happens? She grabs the fruit. Oh, look at this. It looks very tasty, doesn't it? Oh, look at this. It's good for knowing good and evil. Why would she want to know evil? Satan just connived his way in, and there she did, and disobeyed God. Disobeyed the one who created her and put her in a perfect paradise. Adam disobeyed, followed the same form, and he disobeyed. And you know what? There was no one to excuse. Adam wanted to blame God for the woman he had given. The woman wanted to blame the serpent. There was no one to blame but themselves because they weren't alert. They didn't look at Satan as an enemy, as one prowling about to devour them. And too often, don't we consider him a bit of a friend? Not really to be worried or concerned about? Sometimes people even want to say, well, he's just fictitious. He doesn't exist at all. Oh, he does exist. And he exists with one purpose in mind, to take you and me from the love of Jesus Christ, to take you and me to be with him. Don't do it. It says here, be alert, be of sober mind, and then what? Resist. Next step, resist him. Put up a fight. Don't give in. If you ever watch any of the movies where there are superheroes involved, and I don't mean the special superheroes like the Marvel comics. I mean there's the guy who or the woman who's always going to win and she's never going to quit. Did you ever notice that they succeed because they never quit? They never give up? They look for a way to get out of the predicament. They look for a way to defeat the evil doer over there. And they keep working. They resist. It's so easy to give in. It's so easy. There are people there that don't want to fight anymore, and they say, well, here, let me get a doctor who will take care of this and end my turmoil, end my worry, my frustration, my anxiety, my pain. Peter says, resist him. Resist the temptations, standing firm in the faith, that faith that we confessed in the Nicene Creed, that faith that takes us from here to glory, takes us through this time of sin and grief to glory. The faith that is solely resting on Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Look at what he has done. Here Peter talked about that he cares for you. Oh, how much does he care? Can we ever forget the love that took him to the cross? Can we ever forget the love that the burden of our sins, the burden that he says set on him, that he carried that burden? He sweats in the garden. He died on the cross. That's how much his love is for you. And he rose on Easter morning so that you and I don't have to worry about the hereafter. Don't have to worry about what comes after this life. There are no worries in Jesus Christ. He says, resist Satan and stand firm in the faith because you know you're not alone in this. There are others all over the world, throughout the world, undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You're not alone. See, Satan would love us to believe that we're alone in our suffering. In our pain. Nobody knows the suffering I'm going through, right? Oh, but people do. And they're enduring. And they're standing firm. Because they know that God will never give up on them. God will never quit on them. Stand firm in that faith. Stand firm in the faith of Jesus Christ. You see, that's how we cope, isn't it? As a Christian, we cope in Christ. In his love. In his forgiveness, in his promise of eternity. That's how coping is done. Oh, he gives us the tools. There are people that we can turn to. We don't have to go it alone. We can turn to others for advice, for counseling. We can turn to them. And yet it is in Christ that we have the ability to cope with all the trials that we come across. The pain, the suffering, the illnesses, the loss, the disappointments. All these things, cast it on Jesus. Give it to him so that we might have this wonderful hope in God. Notice how Peter concludes this. He's actually closing off his letter a little bit, almost with the doxologies, and the God of all grace. Grace, that undeserved love, getting what we don't deserve. That grace, he says, who called you, not just everybody else, generically, no. He called you, where? To his eternal glory in Christ. After you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's been his word all along. 7 centuries before the birth of Jesus, we had the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah wrote in our reading that we had for today, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Yes, we resist Satan. We are alert and of sober mind. We cast all our anxiety. We come to the Lord in all humility, knowing that he is the one. And what does he promise? He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's God's promise. All the other solutions can't offer the promise of God, can't offer the eternal lifetime guarantee that God offers to you and me. To you, God says he will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To you, he has promised forgiveness and life everlasting. Yeah, we have some pain, some sorrow, some difficulties right now. We might be anxious and worried about a lot of things. Get rid of them, folks. Learn to cope in Christ. For there is our salvation. And as Peter would say, to him be the power forever and ever. To Christ be the power forever and ever, a power he has given to you and me to cope in a difficult world. My dear Christian friends, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Always has, always will, to eternity. Amen. And now may the peace that comes to us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds in that true faith, standing firm till we stand with Jesus in glory everlasting. Amen.